before medication. This is CBS News.
I, Steve Chang, pledge allegiance to Red Roof Inn and the ReadyCard loyalty program. Oh, ReadyCard, you are just wallet size, but to me, you're bigger than that. You help me get something free. As in, stay 10 nights at Red Roof Inn, get one free.
Join the Red Roof Inn ReadyCard loyalty program and find even more reasons to come back to the roof. You'll get faster reservations and express check-in, and there's no faster way to earn a free night's stay. For reservations, call 800-RED-ROOF.
Free night after 10 nights based on average paid rate of $50 per night.
Two things you need to be a really successful outdoor griller. One is a classy apron, like because I'm the dad, that's why, or first class male, M-A-L-E, or I'm rare and I'm well done. The other thing is something you already use in your oven, Easy Off. The grease penetrating formula in Easy Off dissolves all that old stuff on your grill and easily wipes clean. So get the apron, get the Easy Off, and grill on. Hit it, girls.
Easy Off makes grill clean and easier.
750 KXL News, I'm Sean Kellen. The Portland School Board will decide tomorrow night whether to allow military recruiters at the schools. News Radio 750 KXL's Charlie Maxton reports.
Banned for about 6 years, a reaction to the policy prohibiting gays in the military. Board member Derry Jackson's been pushing to loosen the ban.
We'll let them come in, but we want them to come in at the invitation of a particular student or some kind of a program approach.
Jackson believes keeping the recruiters away from the schools only succeeds in giving kids less options.
These kids could be actually building their lives. I'm afraid that as a society, we're not prepared to deal with creating and providing options for children. We've failed miserably in that area.
Jackson doesn't know which way the vote will go, but expects it to be close. Charlie Maxton, News Radio 750 KXL.
Activists from both sides of the gun control debate are expected to turn out this week for a legislative hearing. It'll be on a bill to prevent holders of concealed handgun licenses from bringing their weapons into school property. Senator Jenny Burdick says anyone who cares about keeping kids safe needs to come to the Wednesday afternoon hearing. Gun owner groups say they'll show up too, describing the proposal as a feel-good bill that encroaches on the rights of the law-abiding with concealed handgun licenses. 750 KXL traffic and weather together. Roads appear clear right now. If you see a traffic tie-up, let us know toll-free on your Verizon Wireless. It is at star 750. Your 750 KXL forecast for the rest of this Sunday night overnight. Clear skies, looking for a low tonight around 45. Sunshine and warm for your Monday with a high near 85. And clear skies ahead for tomorrow night with a low of 52. Looking ahead to Tuesday, sunshine and warm with a high right around 90. 70 in Vancouver, 69 Salem. Clear skies, 70 as well here in Portland. I'm Sean Cohen, News Radio 750 KXL.
Exploring the paranormal and the unexplained. It's Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on News Radio 750 KXL.
That was the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. I mean, look at you. You're the kind of guy that would beg for sex. I should know. Smell our own.
Why don't you shut up? It was yap, yap, yapping all the time. We have a headache.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO. That's 1-866-797-8360. Toll free nationwide. A lot of people calling from all over the country to talk with Kevin Smith, my guest tonight. Kevin Smith, director, writer of movies like Clerks, Small Rats, Chasing Amy, and Dogma. The DVD that has the Clerks animated series has come out, 6 episodes. I checked it out. It's really great. You hear the commentary about the episodes. You get to see them. They only aired 2 on ABC, which was a shame because it was a really good series. And I was right there watching both, actually. And from what I understand, they were out of order, which really sucks. And so, you know, maybe Kevin want to talk about it, maybe not. But tonight on the program, he's answering your questions about that. And also for DC Comics, he is writing the Green Arrow series. It's going to be, from what he says, a 12 issue series. Right now they're on number 3, but it's Quiver. You get to see Matt Wagner's artwork on the cover. And you can see the great writing that Kevin Smith is doing for the series, reviving a character that had died back in 1998, 1999. Of course, you know, Oliver Queen, and just fantastic stuff coming out of Kevin Smith. And also Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is going to be coming to theaters August the 24th. Kevin, welcome back to Ground Zero.
Hey, thanks.
Now,
hey, that guy, the last guy we were talking to, the guy that owned the comic book store in Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Is it Night Flight?
Yeah.
Great store.
Yeah, it is a great store. In fact, Night Flight Comics has been supportive of Ground Zero. Ground Zero started in Salt Lake City. We first started as a fanzine.
Uh-huh.
And it developed into this monster that became a radio show on K-Bear 101. Actually, it started on a talk station, KCNR, which was like this hellion talk radio station. It was all over the place for Utah, very conservative area, and we were very wild and crazy and did all kinds of wild stuff on this KCNR station. And then Ground Zero evolved into this rock and roll, we used to call it Evil Talk, Evil Rock Show, and talking about comic books and everything, and Mimi was right there, and just supported the hell out of the store. She still does. She's my she produces a lot of things for me outside of Portland, where I am right now, and she keeps the fires burning in Salt Lake City for me, which is really good.
Nice.
So, you know, and that's a relationship that, you know, has gone a long time. I mean, we met at a Star Trek convention, and I was selling my little fanzines, and she was trying to sell comics, and she couldn't believe I was selling, you know, my fanzines for $3 a pop, and they were all stapled together in a beer joint the night before. So, and
look what came out of it all.
Exactly. All this stuff. You know, speaking of great relationships, I've always wondered, and I mean, I wasn't quite clear on this. How did you meet Jay Muse?
Jay Muse is a dude that I had known, I guess I've known him a while for, let me see, I was out of high school, 89. I've known him since 89, so over 10 years. But he was a kid that everyone kind of knew in town, just a kid of local legend, you know, like there's that Muse kid. I heard he did it with a sheep, you know, that kind of guy. And I didn't really know him until I was working at this recreation center in Highlands, the town I grew up in. And after I left there, I was working at the program there for a year. After I left, my friends Brian and Walter start hanging around with this kid, Jason Muse, and telling me stories about him, how funny he was. And I was kind of jealous of that because I was, I'd only met Brian and Walter a year before, and I was their new funny friend, and suddenly I'd been replaced. And one day they had the temerity to bring him to a comic book show with us. We were going up to the city, up to Manhattan, to go to a comic book show, and all of a sudden Jason was there. And I said, what are we doing with this kid? And I said, he's going to go to the show. And I was like, I'm not transporting some minor across state lines. He was like 15, 16 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, fine, we'll drive. So we drove up in Brian's car, and I got stuck in the back seat, and he was sitting up in the front seat like a king, and making his little comments and whatnot, his snoogans and his snoochie boochies, and I was sitting in the back of my arms crossed like, he ain't so funny. After a while, Brian and Walter lost interest in him, and I kind of inherited him. He would just start coming to my house and be like, what do you want to do today? And I was like, I don't want to do anything with you. Why do you keep coming to my house? But he kind of grew on me. When I was still hanging out at the rec with Walter, we'd go pick up our comics and go back to the rec to read them on Wednesdays before the kids came from school. It was a latchkey kid program. And we were sitting in the rec center reading, and it was just me and Walter, and boom, the door gets kicked open, and then Jason Muse marches in and proceeds to fillet anything that looks somewhat phallic in the room. So if there's a pool cue, he's on it. If there's a phone, he's on it. Flagpole, he's on it. Without even looking up at us, like, you know, like, what's their reaction? He just had an agenda. He was going to go in there and do what he was going to do. And when he got to the asteroids machine, like, it doesn't have a joystick. It has a rollerball.
Mm-hmm.
And he stops and he looks at it, and then he just shrugs and, you know, starts pretending to fillet that. And I was like, this kid's kind of a genius. So he grew on me. And then basically I just started hanging out with him pretty hardcore.
Now, and then you were hanging out with him, and then you, how did the idea for Jay and Silent Bob come to be? I mean, was Jay and Silent Bob the first idea, and then you wrote movies around Jay and Silent Bob?
No, they were very much a secondary idea. Basically, I wanted to be a filmmaker and build a movie around that. You know, don't write about stuff you don't have access to. Write about what you can, stuff you can work with. Like, don't write about space and expect to, you know, make a $30,000 movie about it. So I was like, well, I have the convenience store. I can write a movie set in the convenience store because I was working there and at the video store at the time. This is the Quick Stop in the RST. So while I was writing the film, I'd known Jason at that point for about 5 years, and I'd always thought, like, God, I wonder if people other than our friends would find him funny. Like, if anyone outside of where we grew up would think he was funny as we thought he was. So I wrote the Jay character and kind of based on who Jason was when he was about 14, 15, because he changed a bit as he got older. Back in those days, he was what they call a straight edge, like no booze, no drugs, no chicks, which I could never quite understand why the whole no chicks aspect of it.
Right.
But in time, he became quite debauched. But at that point, when he was young, he was just this weird little sonic boom with dirt on it, you know, and just constantly moving, constantly in motion, and a creature of the id, really. Didn't think about what he was saying, just kind of said it. Had no real moral barometer, which is kind of what stuck with the character with Jay. He doesn't really say the things he says out of any sense of malice. He just has no moral barometer. Doesn't know that what he's saying is wrong, and that's kind of where the comedy comes from. But when I was writing Clerks, I was like, I'm going to put him in it just to see if anyone would find him funny. I didn't want to be standing there by himself, so I wrote a character, Silent Bob, to stand next to him. And since Jason was going to be doing all the talking, Silent Bob didn't really have to say anything. And I wrote it for a friend of mine in high school, this guy named Mike Bellicose, because I was going to play Randall. That's why Randall has all the best jokes in the flick.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got closer to production, I was just like, I can't memorize all these lines. I'm not an actor. So I at least wanted to be in the flick. You know, if I was going to play Randall, if this was going to be the only movie I made, which as far as I knew it was, I at least wanted to be in it, because if I was going to go into Hawk and into debt over this thing, I at least wanted to pop in the tape once a year while I was still clawing my way out of debt over the course of the next 30, 40 years and go like, well, at least I was in it too. So I looked around and there was Silent Bob was there and Mike had, I'd written a part for him, but I said, you know what, I'm going to play Silent Bob because I'll look better standing next to Jason than Mike would, because I'm kind of the antithesis of Jason, at least visually. Jason's real thin and wiry, and I'm the opposite.
Right.
And I didn't have to memorize any lines, so I was like, forget it, I'll go do it. And it just kind of stuck. But they were not like the first concept and everything came around them. They actually came very late in the process.
Well, many teams, of course, had that idea. You have a thin guy and a kind of a bigger guy.
Right.
Next thing you have Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, you know, Ren and Stimpy even.
Right.
In fact, my buddy and I were kind of like Ren and Stimpy. I'm the big guy and he's kind of the hot-headed guy. And we did a radio show together and we enjoy doing that because it's a lot of fun. And I was thinking about that, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, you know, that they'd make a great radio team because they're just built in for that sort of thing.
Yeah, but one of them doesn't even talk.
That's
so
okay.
I don't know if that would make for good radio.
Well,
a lot of dead air.
You look at Penn and Teller. I mean, they one's more louder than the other one, but they still seem to work together. So.
Right.
But you know, and not only that, but you know, I understand from what I heard on most of the DVD commentary that many of the studios, some of them didn't believe in Jay as much as you did.
No, particularly Universal. I mean, Miramax had picked up Clerks. They didn't care the movie was done. And those characters didn't really mean that much to them, which was kind of reflected by the fact that when Clerks came out and played theatrically, when the movie was written about critically, and we got nothing but good reviews for the movie. It was insane. There was very few bad reviews on the film. It was the first film, so we got away with a lot.
Right.
But nobody really talked about Jay and Silent Bob. They would mention Silent Bob sometimes just to say, like, and the director plays a character called Silent Bob. Nobody really talked about those characters. And I remember reading, the only thing I ever saw written about Jay and Bob when Clerks came out was the review in People magazine said about Jason Mewes that it said, you want to find the rock he crawled out from under and make sure there's nothing else like him under it.
How did Jason take that?
He's like, what is that good? And I was like, it was good for me. I mean, it works. I think it's pretty funny. And he said, great. That's a good review. But he didn't care. He's not really into that kind of stuff. Doesn't really care about the press, the critics. Doesn't really follow that kind of thing. Just enjoys making the flicks. Just enjoys the free breakfast burritos and the fact that you get to keep your wardrobe.
Has he ever entertained the idea of maybe doing a film outside of something you...
He did. He was in that movie Drawing Flies that my friend Malcolm made,
oh,
where he played a character that wasn't Jay. And he was actually, he was really good. I mean, he played a character completely different from Jay and really pulled it off. But so when we screened Mallrats, I'd carried over the Jay and Silent Bob characters. And when I submitted the script to Universal, that's who we were making the movie with, they didn't want to use Jason Mewes. They didn't want it. They thought they wanted to get a real actor. And I was like, no, Jay is Jay. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. Nobody really saw Clerks anyway. Just we'll get somebody. They wanted, who do they want? Seth Green, who's on Buffy.
Right.
Or Breckin Meyer, who was in Road Trip. But they weren't in those two, either they weren't in that show or that flick at that time. They were kind of just starting out, too. But they didn't want Jay, and we had to lobby really hard for Jay, and he came out to audition. He had to audition for his part, even though he'd played it before. And they told us, they're like, look, if you want to use him, fine, but you got to fly him out to Minneapolis. That's where we shot the movie. On your own dime, put him up all through the rehearsal process. He's not going to be paid for rehearsals. And if we don't like his first set of dailies, we're firing him and bringing him one of these.
Oh, man.
So we were working kind of under the gun, and thankfully he pulled it off. So much so that, like, by the end of the movie, you know, they built a marketing campaign around him. You know, they would throw up Snoochie Boochies and stuff like that. This is a guy they didn't really care about. But the weird thing, the weird phenomenon about the character was when we screened the movie at the San Diego Comic-Con, we screened Mallrats back in 95, when those two characters came up on the screen, the audience erupted. People were cheering and screaming, and there was huge recognition, which I was befuddled by because nobody had ever really mentioned them in press before. But by that point, Clerks had gone to home video, and that's where it found its audience. I mean, theatrically, it never played on more than 50 screens. And it made $3.1 million, which was really good at that time for a movie that cost $28,000. But on video, of course, it had huge rentals, and it was a record breaker in terms of returns per copy, they call it, how many times a tape gets rented. It was number two for a long time in video stores across America. But that's where the audience that really dug Jay and Silent Bob was first exposed to it, because when Clerks was playing at the Art House theaters, it wasn't a lot of college kids or high school kids seeing it. It was a lot of kind of highbrow art house people going to see the flick. But on video, it's where they really built the fan base, and we got to see it in action with that first screening at San Diego. There was recognition. People knew these characters. I was really kind of taken aback by it. So they've always kind of been the most favorite characters of everything we've ever done. People really tend to focus on them. There's something kind of appealing about them because I guess they are kind of a very classic comedy duo. They didn't really invent the mold. They just fit into it. You know?
They fit in the mold, and they're modern, and in many ways, they're very original, even though that you can see, you know, the cyclical aspects of it, but they're still very original characters, and we can relate to them, and that's why they're so good. My guest is Kevin Smith. He's here tonight to talk with you at 1-866-System-0, 1-866-797-8360. If you have a question for Kevin Smith, and if you want to call and just say hello, you can do that too, right here at Ground Zero. We'll be back with more. Keep it here as we talk with Kevin Smith about his career and what he's up to right now.
Call into Ground Zero at 1-866-System-0 on News Radio 750 KXL.
Think openly, analyze critically. The truth is in you. Ground Zero.
It's a very uneasy feeling to not be sure whether or not you're pregnant, especially when you don't want to be. The uncertainty is really hard. Trying to block the consequences out right now and selling it one way or the other.
From the first time you use it, the EPP pregnancy test is easy to read, and it's over 99% accurate in lab tests.
This is about as nervous as I've ever been. I just want to know for sure.
EPP. So accurate, we call it the error-proof test. Use as directed, see your doctor as recommended.
My sinuses? Oh, we're talking pressure. It starts small, gets worse, and by 5 o'clock,
It is not a pretty sight. How do I cope?
At the very first sign of sinus pressure, Sudafed 12-Hour.
Absolutely. Taking Sudafed 12-Hour at the first sign of pressure releases pressure and keeps it away for a full 12 hours. That's 9 to 5. And then for all-day sinus relief, take non-drowsy Sudafed 12-Hour at the first sign. Use a stretcher.
Got a small business?
Sure do.
Well, let's save you some money.
Sounds good.
Pay with the American Express corporate card for small business, and you'll automatically save 10 to 20% at FedEx Express.
What if I ship about 3 packages a day?
Times 5 days a week, 52 weeks. You save about $1,500 a year.
$1,500 a year just by paying with the card?
More on gas, travel, and long-distance calls.
So why would I pay any other way?
What can we do for your business? Call the American Express Small Business Group at 1-800-SUCCESS. Terms and conditions apply.
Deidre Hall for Scan Diet.
Don't you hate those people who can eat anything they want and never gain a pound? They can wolf down a cheeseburger and slip into a size zero. Well, for everybody else, there's Scan Diet at General Nutrition Center. 10 years of clinical research proves that soy-based Scan Diet will significantly reduce body weight. So even though they may have high metabolism, you now have Scan Diet. Besides, metabolism is overrated. Scan Diet, exclusively at GNC. Live well.
Use in conjunction with enclosed healthy diet and exercise program. Individual results may vary.
Rolex presents In the Pinch. While hitting for the cycle is very difficult, it's even more difficult to hit a grand slam to reach the cycle. Only 5 players have reached that mark. Can you name the first and the last player to reach the mark?
Nachos, pizza, wings, ribs, or chili. When you pile it on, before you know it, you've got heartburn or acid indigestion. So it's nice to know Rolex neutralizes stomach acid fast to give you the relief you need. I said, the relief you need!
Right when you need it. And with a variety of smooth, great-tasting fruit and mint flavors, relief never tasted this good. Musicians, Rolex spells relief. Use as directed.
Napa Joy of Philadelphia started it all back on July 30th, 1901, and Jay Buhner of the Seattle Mariners reached the beat on June 23rd, 1993. Jimmy Fox, Tony Lazzari, and Bill Terry also reached the mark in their careers.
Ground Zero.
Oh, golly, what's going on here?
You again.
Yeah, your common sense. Hey, where the heck are you going?
To get my oil changed.
You know, we passed 3 Jiffy Lubes already.
So?
Oh, for the love of Mike, you need certified technicians.
What's the difference?
Well, if you go to Jiffy Lube, you'll see. They meet your car warranty requirements. You get a vacuum, windows washed, fluids checked, and the lube is pretty darn Jiffy.
I'm a changed man.
Yeah, keep your seatbelt on.
More people change their oil with Jiffy Lube Signature Service than anywhere else in America. Change for the better at Jiffy Lube.
Allergies can be tough. Every time you walk out the door, you're eating your poor head off. Your nose is bleeding like a faucet. Your eyes feel so itchy, you can hardly see. And then you get this itchy that keeps you up half the night. Well, now there's new Robitussin Allergy and Cough. It's the Robitussin that controls allergy symptoms and allergic cough. So it's a more complete allergy medicine.
New Robitussin Allergy and Cough. From the brand recommended by doctors, pharmacists, and Dr. Mom. Use as directed.
Ground Zero on News Radio 750 KXL. The bad, bad, and the ugly. And over on Ground Zero. My guest is Kevin Smith, 1-866-SYSTEM-0, 1-866-797-8360. Let's go to Katina on 3. Hi, Katina, you're on Ground Zero. Kevin Smith, go ahead. Oh, sorry. Hold on a second. Wrong one. Let's go to Katina on 4. Hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde.
Hi.
Kevin, I just had a quick question. What's your opinion on women in comic books? You know, whether you think they're good artists or writers or whatnot?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I'm trying to think.
There just aren't so many out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so few that it's really tough to kind of figure out who there would be. I mean, I know there are people... That do the woman that does Castle Waiting, which is, what's her name?
I'm so bad at names.
Bronwyn Carlton.
Is that her name?
Well, no, Bronwyn Carlton's a woman that I know that draws. She did, what did she do? Oh, God, my brain now went blank. She was in the big book
series. Linda Medley, is that her name? Does Castle Waiting? I think that's her name. Amanda Connor, Christina Zeus, Dwight Witchblade. The woman that does Scary Godmother.
Hmm.
Who also drew Sandman for a while. God, her name escapes me too. I don't know. I mean, there's nobody that kind of tops my list that I'm a huge fan of. I don't necessarily dislike their stuff, but there's nobody that I can point to and say, like, wow, what a great example of women in comics. It's pretty much a male-dominated field, which is
Sad
because there's plenty of perspective to be brought to the field by people that definitely aren't chicks, but I've yet to see much that...
Well, I enjoy comics, and I have a lot of friends that work in the business, and... you know, I'm not really looking to get into it, but I have some really great ideas, and you know, I was thinking about maybe doing a little writing someday.
Get in there, man.
Yeah, I know.
We need more women.
I know.
Obviously, by the fact that we can't come up with more than 10, I think that's a sorry state of affairs.
Yeah, I really loved your strong female character that was into comics on Chasing Amy.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katina, for the call.
Okay, bye.
Take care. And that frees up a line at 1-866-SYSTEM-0. That's 1-866-797-8360. As we're talking tonight with Kevin Smith about the projects he's working on and about the comic book that he is working on right now, Green Arrow. Of course, the series is out now, and it's selling well, isn't it?
Green Arrow is doing very well. It's actually... the first printing the first issue they did three printings on, which I think we did 150,000 copies.
That's great.
Total. And then the second issue they did two printings on, which I think they just sold out of, the DC sold out of their second printing.
At
three, I'm not sure where they are, if they're going to go back to press.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that coming up with Kevin Smith, 1-866-SYSTEM-0. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
You are listening to Ground Zero. Mind control by the Information Underground.
Exploring the paranormal and the unexplained. It's Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on News Radio 750 KXL.
News Radio 750 KXL, I'm Sean Cullen. Good news for those of you who plan to drive this Memorial Day weekend. Gas prices appear to have leveled off. Industry analyst Troby Lundberg reports the average price of gas, including all grades and taxes, is $1.76 a gallon, which is a rise of less than 1%, 1 cent over a two-week period. Dublin has celebrated St. Patrick's Day with 3 days of festivity. The Irish capital had postponed the festivities in March because of fears of foot and mouth disease. The festival and street carnivals and fireworks culminated today in a two-hour parade. A tragedy was averted at the Troutdale Airport this morning. Airport spokesman Steve Johnson.
A private aircraft with one individual on board was coming into Troutdale Airport, and apparently there was a problem with the landing gear.
The landing gear collapsed on the Mooney aircraft, made for a rough landing, but the pilot walked away uninjured. The field running for the Oregon governor's spot is getting more crowded. News Radio 750 KXL's Barbara Voigt has the latest candidate announcement.
This is going to be the most grassroots campaign this state has ever seen, I have a feeling.
That's Democrat Beverly Stein. She made a run for governor official last night before 1,000 supporters at Benson High. And what issues does she plan to tackle?
Predictable transportation and the cost of prescription drugs, the protection of the environment. All these are issues that call out for our attention.
Stein says her experience as executive Multnomah County Commissioner have given her the background to run a state budget and understand all of the issues. Barbara Voigt, News Radio 750 KXL.
750 KXL traffic and weather together. We have a traffic accident actually to report in Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Killingsworth. If you see anything else tonight, let us know toll free on your Verizon Wireless at Star 750. KXL forecast, clear skies tonight, down to 45 for a low, sunny and warm Monday with a high of 85, and clear skies Monday night with a low of 52. 68 Vancouver, 69 Salem, 68 in Portland. I'm Sean Cohen, News Radio 750 KXL.
If you would like to reduce the high cost of your term life insurance, then call the Legacy Group of America at 1-800-245-TERM and find out how you can save up to 50% on your premiums. That's right, save up to 50%. The Legacy Group of America will shop for the best term life insurance rates in the market, which could save you thousands of dollars in premiums over the life of your policy. Their representatives will use a process of competitive shopping from over 20
20 different insurance companies throughout the country and find the most cost-effective policy for you. For example, a 40-year-old male preferred non-smoker can get a $500,000 term life insurance policy for less than a dollar a day from an A-plus rated insurance company. Their rates are unbeatable and will be guaranteed for 15 years. For a free quote for one of the lowest cost term life insurance policies, call 1-800-245-TERM. Let the Legacy Group decrease the cost of purchasing your term life insurance. Call now, 1-800-245-TERM. That's 1-800-245-TERM. Not available in all states.
Are you tired of the time-consuming maintenance required to keep your natural wood surfaces looking great? You need TimberTech UV. These extremely durable and environmentally safe wood finishes are easy to apply and easy to maintain. Manufactured in Portland, TimberTech UV is perfect for both exterior and interior surfaces. The proof comes in what TimberTech UV's customers have said about their products.
It's been almost 3 years since we finished our siding with TimberTech UV, and it's still a bright and natural looking as when we put it up.
We provide our customers with the best quality, low toxic and natural products available. We have never found a better line of exterior wood finishes than TimberTech UV.
In over 17 years of log home building, we've never had a product perform so well. We're so confident in the product, we're happy to place our reputation on it.
To find out more about TimberTech UV for your decks, fences, siding, and log homes, call 888-888-6095. That's TimberTech UV at 888-888-6095.
The Star Super Pack is number one in new hit movies. With up to 12 different movie channels, it's the only place you'll see the award-winning movies Aaron Brockovich and U-571, The Cell and The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps, all for about $12 a month. Call 800-SUPER-PACK. It's number one in new hit movies.
Number one in new hit movies based on year 2000, total number of primetime airings of first-run theatricals with at least $20 million in box office receipts, with subscription to digital cable or satellite TV. Availability and price may vary.
Right now, the Oregon History Center has one of the most stunning exhibits of American Indian art on display. The Keeping the Spirit Alive exhibit is a powerful, content-rich exhibition of more than 90 rare objects from the Pamplin collection, spanning more than 200 years. These objects capture the color, drama, and excitement of American Indian culture. The exhibit is made even more powerful by photographs and stories. Experience Keeping the Spirit Alive. Visit the Oregon History Center, open Tuesday through Sunday. The Oregon Historical Society, preserving the past, inspiring the future.
Now, more Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on News Radio 750 KXL.
Chewbacca.
Ground Zero prevents brain decay. Call Clyde now. 1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO.
Ladies, JF75 are ready to hit him.
Chewbacca!
Anyone who isn't tangible from another plane of existence would be well to cover their ears.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
I'll tell you what you need is a fatty full batty blunt.
Jedi mind trick.
Adventure, excitement, the Jedi craves not these things.
1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO, the number to call. Talk with Kevin Smith tonight. 1-866-797-8360. Talking about all kinds of things with Kevin, including the new comic book, The Green Arrow, which right now series is doing well, and we're glad that it's back because, of course, it was probably a difficult task to try and resurrect the character that had been killed off. But now Oliver Queen is back. Sherwood Florist is back, and Kevin Smith is at the helm writing it. So it's good to have him on the program and to also talk about his films that he's done, Clerks, of course, Mallrats, and Chasing Amy, Dogma, just to name them, and, of course, the new movie that's going to be coming out, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back, and that'll be due in theaters August 24th. Let's go to Jeff right now. Jeff has been patiently waiting. Hi, Jeff. You're on Ground Zero with Kevin Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, what were your early influences other than Star Wars and comic books?
Early influences for what?
That just shaped your reality and how you perceive the world so interestingly.
You know, I watched a lot of TV as a child. I think it kind of shows. I did a lot of reading as well. I was always kind of a big reader, even prior to comic books. And I got into writing fairly early on. I was about 10 years old, I think, when I first got into writing. And I'd written a book, a full-length book, that I entered into the Young Avon Young Novelist Competition when I was about 13, thanks to a teacher of mine kept pushing me to do it. So I don't know. I can't really say what the influences were. I think my father was a big influence because he was kind of a very funny guy, funny but quiet guy. Kept his mouth shut until he had something funny to say.
How about music?
Music? I wasn't really a big music guy, nor am I still to this day. My musical taste kind of stopped somewhere in the mid to late 80s, so I still listen to nothing but old Talking Heads and Run DMC. But no, I've never been a big music aficionado.
What movie are you going to do after, or project you going to do after Strike Back?
I'm not sure. It may be the Fletch movie that we've been working on for a little while now. I think that'll probably wind up being, if not immediately next, soon thereafter.
To answer your question, Jeff? Thank you, Jeff, for calling.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye. Let's now go to Illinois and Penny. Hi, Penny, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, thank you guys for taking my call. Kevin.
Yeah?
I have a comment and then I have a question, if that's all right. First of all, I'm just so impressed that I'm sitting here listening to you on Clyde's show. I have a college-age son, and we have Kevin Smith marathons.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like we used to have when I was a kid, Monty Python marathon.
Right.
They go out and rent all your movies, and they spend the weekend watching your movies and keeping me awake at night.
That's tremendous. You people are going to put my daughter through college one day.
Well, my personal favorite was Chasing Amy.
Thank you.
I love that movie. I've rented it several times, and I really, really love that movie. I think I get a little more out of it every time I get to watch it. But I want to ask you a question about that movie, and I'm wondering if you caught any heat or had any backlashes or any problems when you from her character going from a lesbian to finding the right man and falling in love.
There was a very, very small outcry when the movie came out. It wasn't even an outcry. Some people just dismissed it. Some of the gay press, particularly the lesbian press, dismissed it as being a film that just kind of adhered to that old chestnut, that all any lesbian really needed was one good guy to turn her around, one the right guy to turn her around. But I think they kind of missed the point of the movie by adhering to that, because we kind of make fun of that point of the whole all you really need is one guy to turn a lesbian around. Banky says it. And Banky was kind of our buffoon character, the character into whose mouth we stuck a lot of the kind of myopic points of view that guys have toward the gay community.
Right.
So I always felt by having him say that, we kind of pointed out that obviously I as the filmmaker, don't adhere to that point, don't agree with it, don't believe in it. But some people couldn't get past that. So it very small. You know, one or two reviews. I think in the two major gay publications, Out and The Advocate, one gave us a really good review. With a caveat of like, you know, it's as good as a straight male can do the story. And the other one didn't like the movie that much. But very, very little outcry. I mean, most people don't consider it a gay film by any stretch of the imagination. Gay friendly, yes, but not really a gay film. It was made by a very straight male. So
I always had the opinion when I saw that I really didn't think that she was gay, actually.
And that's the thing. I certainly wasn't saying that, you know, the illicit character is indicative of every lesbian in the world. She's one character. And obviously one character written by a heterosexual male, but still one character, not indicative of the entire lesbian nation. So it's weird that people would kind of be upset that, oh, look how he depicts lesbian. No, it's how I depicted one lesbian. And, you know, at the end of the movie, if you really want to adhere to it, she winds up with a woman.